All right. So we've talked about the chaos and the crisis. So now let's hear from you. Daniel has the microphone. Any questions? Your opportunity to write this workshop with us. Yes?
Hi, Galexis.
Hello.
My important question is that some people, like you said, have changed through crisis. Some people have easier changes. And the people that do have a change through severe crisis and all their selves get all freaked out, and then they can't function. You mentioned that it might take a few days, it might take a few hours. Well, it might take a few years and a couple hundred grand to get through some of these traumatic upheavals that the person doesn't know how to bring in the responsible, blessed adult. And they watch their children crying and crying and can't pull out and get into bed. So let's ease up on something like that so that I can attach consciously and be in control with my faithful, confident, responsible, blessed adult. Can you help me with that?
All right. So if we are hearing your question accurately, we are hearing a request on how to do this so that the process becomes faster, smoother, easier, yes?
Yes, please, and not to have the necessity of falling apart, paralyticizing, going to bed, and worrying that you'll die.
All right.
That's what I need relief from.
All right. Well, one of the first things that happens in chaos, in the dissolution of old order, if it has to do with the physical body, which in your case in particular it does, then the chaos in the body is such that the organs do not know how to function with each other. They don't know how to communicate with each other. The cells don't know what they're supposed to be doing. They don't have a sense of function and order. And so the chaos means that the body is open to any kind of possibility. It makes it extremely sensitive and so forth. Now, at this point where you are, you've gone through, yes, years working through a particular crisis. And quite a few people go through years. It takes years going through it. But if you will look at the steps and the stages that we suggested that happen in order to come out of the crisis to the other side, we would suggest that allowing yourself to focus on that will begin to shorten your duration of suffering, number one, and number two, that when you go into the oneness, when you go into the silence, from that place, part of the dreaming that you do will translate into your physical body as a way for the cells, the systems, the organs to work together again. Right now, they're some of them are at odds with each other. Some of them don't know how to take the signals and respond to them. Other parts of your body don't even send the signals. There are certain chemical irregularities that occur in the chaos. And so when your body spends a long, long time in the chaos, it forgets the messages. This is something that is part of the rebuilding process. You must stay an adult. You must, by your own choice and by your will, keep becoming aware of the distinction between the child self and the adolescent and the young adult and all those selves, and to recognize that the exhaustion of the body has to come, which is generally accompanies almost any health crisis, will come fatigue. That is kind of a common denominator. If any of you have ever had a health crisis, any of the others of you, you'll notice that that's a common factor, is fatigue. Well, an overview of this would be, because you want to get your energy back, of course, so you want to look at these, and that is that there's certain organs in your body that have responded to the slave driver. The slave driver whips the adrenal glands. Now, the adrenal glands are the ones that put adrenaline into your blood, give you energy. It's like a cup of coffee, you know, just a really strong hit of adrenaline, a strong hit of oomph to get your energy going. It raises your blood pressure. It pushes you. It moves you. It gets you motivated to do things that you don't really perhaps want to do. Motivate you to do compensations you feel are necessary to maintain survival. So the mechanisms of adjustment and compensation that you made as a child, that you made as an adolescent, and as a young adult are sustained by, these compensations are sustained by the adrenals. And all the hormonal system, which is plugged in to desire, passion, motivation, and the flow of dynamic energy in your physical body. So when you make this change and this adjustment, one of the symptoms of knowing that you're on the track, one of the reflections to you is that your body is going to be able to finally heal, because the messages of the positive child, positive adolescent, positive young adult are going to enable the body to reset the functions, not in alignment with the slave driver. You know, that, oh gosh, I don't want to really do it, but hey, I got to survive. I'm going to be a survivor. I'm tough. I'll do it. That whole mechanism has to go with a great deal of compassion, because a lot of people, then the more fatigue that they have, the more they beat themselves up about it and say, damn it, you lazy thing. You're just lost. You're just, you know, you can't get your act together. And so the internal parent comes in and the slave driver says, you got to get up. You got to push. You got to motivate yourself. But you know that if you do that, when you have fatigue, all it does is make it worse. You see? So then you get yourself stuck back into the negatives. So we would suggest that your focus needs to be really getting into this emptiness, really getting into this space where there's no more judgments about you, no more shoulds, no more oughts, no more pressure, no more demands, and really giving yourself true rest, which in the absence of those negative voices, you can actually get. You can actually recover if they're not in there. But if they're in there saying, oh, I'm going to die. Oh, it's so, you know, that fear of death, that fear of extinction, that fear of extreme endless separation is part of the illusion that the younger selves are holding on to. And it was part of the motivation for your slave driver to whip you into all the compensational behavior. So you have to give yourself permission to let go of all that compensational behavior, not even look at your life in the same way ever again. Now, the process of rebuilding, it takes a little bit of time, yes. And don't resent it. It's got to be done. But you see, if your rebuilding time is filled with mostly with going back into the negative voices, then that cancels out the rebuilding, and then you have to start again from scratch over and over and over again. That's why it takes a long time. But if you will once really start to get yourself aware, hey, wait a minute, that's a child, that's the adolescent, or at least that's an immature voice, or that's one of those parental naysayer voices. If you can at least get it to that point and separate yourself from that and say, it's okay. I love you all. I mean, I'm going to just kind of let it go right now, and I'm going to go into me, into my being. Once you get a taste of being, all of that ceases to have the power over you that it did. Your recovery picks up speed. Because when you touch the source of being, when you touch your own source of who you are within you, this infuses you with possibility that is linked to your divine self. And in your divine self, the communication is exquisite. It's harmonious. It is in alignment with an empowerment, with love, with freedom, with safety. It's an alignment with that. And that's what retrains the messages of all the cells, the organs, and the systems. And as they do that, they recognize the divine original blueprint of your body, of your life, of your mission, and can align to that. But you have to rebuild a new reality here. Basically, you have been absolutely destroying your old world, but you've been holding on to it at the same time. So that when you feel those voices and feel that emotion, you have to acknowledge and understand that is not who you are now or who you need to be now. And to be able to separate yourself from that, or let's say this way, distinguish yourself from those states, from those fears, from those beliefs. And that distinguishment is what enables you to create the leverage to move into the new. But if you keep going back into the old and forgetting who you are, that extends the period. It extends the pain. That extends the trauma. It takes you back to, it clears the floor, brings you right back to the beginning again. You have to start over. Now, we would say that it is your choice, it is your will to stay out of self-pity, to stay out of self-judgment, to stay out of all the shoulds and the oughts, to stay out of all the fears and traumas about what your life is coming to and how you've messed it up and how you've lost and wasted years and all of that kind of thing. That's all got to go into the emptiness. As you've got to allow yourself to sit with it and get the messages of it so that you can be done with it. That's what we're doing today, okay? Does that more or less answer your question?
Yeah, that answers it. I know that when a person gets in upheaval and they're old and their dysfunctional parts get hysterical, it's very hard to be in the oneness. So
yes,
I understand
it is. It
about
is.
Sitting and allowing and knowing.
Right.
Claiming that you're not that anymore, and then you convince yourself of that, you get a taste of oneness,
and then
you don't go back.
Then you can build positive, build the light body. And the light body is the imprint and the patterning of your physical body. All right. And that's what we're going to do later today.
Okay, great. Thank
you. Yeah, that's exactly the process we're going to go through. So, yes, indeed. But you have to understand that the body, the slave driver, can drive the adrenals to death. The fears and terrors can drive the kidneys to death. There's ways that you can absolutely destroy your physical body, which is trying to carry the trauma of the crisis. Because your spin on crisis is that when you're in the chaos, you're absolutely traumatized. But that is a belief about the chaos. You're in chaos all the time anyway. Order is simply the illusion you have kind of superimposed on it to get yourself feeling that there's some kind of safety in the continuity and the predictability of your life. You see? Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
Question. All right. Who else would like to?
Hello, Alexis.
Hello.
I've been trying to figure out, like, which one of my inner voices. There's a person that's come into my life recently that I want to like, and she makes me feel uneasy because of the situation. And so I'm trying to figure out, you know, why I feel blocked about liking her. A year ago, when I was talking to you about my kids, you said that the younger one would be ready to move out in about a year. And a month ago, he met a girl, and last week, he's only 19, he moved out with her. And it's been a positive thing for him. He's out in the world, he's doing things, he's not playing video games all the time. And, you know, part of me thinks a lot about why I kind of don't like her. I want to like her, but I don't. And I think, well, am I jealous because she's taking my baby away? Maybe.
Oh, his girlfriend is the one?
His girlfriend is the one. But
is she older than him or younger?
No, she's a year younger. She's 18.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like a lot of teenagers. She's kind of a know-it-all. You can't even say one word without her. Like, oh, I know. I know that already. I know all about that. I've researched that. And she also thinks she's really chronically ill, even though she seems immaculately healthy to me. She thinks she has fibromyalgia and Crohn's disease, and she thinks she's probably going to die young and a whole bunch of other things. And so, and he's really smitten with her. He told me a week ago they're engaged after just a month. But I want to like her. My other son's girlfriend, I just adore.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's friendly, she's a good person, but I'm kind of going, what's blocking me to being at least as compassionate with her as I would be just anybody else on the street who needed some love or some nurturing or compassion, and I'm a little bit blocked there, and I'm curious, what is that about?
All right, okay. Well, congratulations, your son has stepped into his young adult. He is now his young adult self, right?
Good.
She is also. And that's the way they play out their young adult. The way that they say, I know how the world works, even though they have no clue yet. Right? I know. It should be like this. Hey, you know, you're old fogies. You just have messed everything up. You're just not seeing the obvious, right? This is the way the world works, and this is the way it should work, and this is what we should do. Hey, gosh, why can't you? I could step into the presidency and do a better job, you see, all that kind of thing. And that's just that young adult and their, you know, their bravado, because they've got the ideas, they've got the dreams, they've got the sizzle, right? So they're enjoying their young adult selves, all right? So, but that's her compensation. Her compensation to the chaos is that she's got to know it all. Because if she doesn't know it all, if she can't stay on top of that kind of control, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? She's going to realize how vulnerable she is. She's going to be lost in the chaos. She won't know what to do. She might panic. Oh my gosh, I've got to appear mature. I've got to get my act together, my life together. And your son being smitten with her and discovering that, hey, you know, I'm actually motivated to do something other than video games. I'm going to go out there and be a man, and I'm going to achieve this and that and da-da-da, and I'm going to act like, oh, wow, this is so exciting. I'm putting on the mantle of manhood, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so they're all excited, you know, and the stepping into young adult is really an exciting period. It starts as early as, like, sometimes 17 is about the earliest. And it goes through about, you know, up to about the mid-20s. You've got that young adult phase where they think that, okay, I'm mature now. Yeah, right. But they think so. And when you were that age, you thought so too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, one of the reasons you don't like this person, this woman, is that she doesn't have the same adaptive pattern that you do. Now, the other girlfriend, you can relate to her.
Mm-hmm.
She has the same belief, you know, let's make nice and let's all be happy together and let's be nice and everything will work out just fine. But this one This one doesn't have that pattern that you're so cozy with, that in your sense of order that you built so well in your life. You were always wanting to be friendly and have everything work out and everybody be happy and let's be nice. That was like part of your MO. But there was a part of you inside that felt that you knew better than everybody else too when you were a young adult. Mm-hmm. But you didn't feel that you were ever given permission and support to be that part of you externally. Did you ever notice that?
Oh, definitely.
That any time that you started speaking your truth and saying this is the way it should be, boy, did you get whammied down just like so.
Yep.
Rejected, abandoned, criticized, shamed, whatever it was. So you're like, well, I guess I can't use that. I'll make nice. Let's have fun now. Let's be just nice. Let's be nice. Well, a part of you is really jealous that she's letting herself do this. You're kind of angry, or your adolescent self, let's say, and young adult is a little angry at her that she's getting away with it.
Definitely, I feel that, like she's getting away with something and someone should put her in her place.
Exactly, exactly. Because you didn't get away with that. Damn it. She should make nice. She should be a nice person. You know, that's what I learned. She should learn that too. She should get her comeuppance and then she will realize that it's more important to be nice. You see. So there's that factor, okay? A second factor that comes along with that is that you perceive that she's judging you. And nobody feels really comfortable with another person who they feel is judging them, right? Do you ever, if you're with somebody who's judgmental and angry, oh gosh, when am I going to be hit? You know, when are they going to slam me? You know, or when they're going to look at me funny or say something bad about me to somebody else? Oh gosh, I feel very uncomfortable around this person. You see, so there's that factor too. Okay, and in that particular discomfort, you're afraid that she's going to criticize you to your son and perhaps wedge in between you two.
Mm-hmm.
And you're afraid you're going to lose your son because she's going to take over. Because she's going to judge you and turn your son against you. That's your fear.
Yeah, I realize that now.
Okay, so these two factors are what make you feel uneasy around her. So here's what we would suggest to do. We suggest that you're playing nice and trying to pull her in and be really sweet and really nice does not work. Okay? You gotta be you. You know, you just gotta be who you are. And when she spouts off in all her little pompous airs and that she knows everything and, oh yeah, I know that. And you just look at her and you just kind of twinkle and laugh. Yeah, right, you do. You're just beginning. You know, no, you don't have to remind her. She's terrified of that. You're just beginning your life. Yeah, I got to have it all together. I got to be in control or it's all going to fall apart. And I'm going to. And so, of course, she's clutching to your son, too. All right. So what you want to do is, in a sense, just imagine her in her fear, in her terror, that everything's going to fall apart if she's not in total control. You see all her clutching at your son in a sense, well, if I can control the son and separate him from the mother, I won't have to deal with the mother because she's afraid you're judging her.
I was just going to say that I have a sense that she thinks I'm judging her as well.
Right. And you are, in a sense. You are judging her. You're saying, Why can't you be nice? Why can't you be easy? Why do you have to be so uptight and always know everything? Why do you have to be such a snotty know-it-all? You know? So she's getting that from you. And she's saying, this person is judging my compensation that enables me to feel secure enough to stay in control. So you're a threat. Right? So you need to put more humor into your relationship with her. And secondly, there's a meditation, a little visualization you can do, is to surround her in a ball of light And inside that ball of light, facing her, are mirrors. Okay? And these mirrors reflect back to her. Reflect to her what she, any kind of negativity and judgment and criticism. Because she's trying to be in her parent self. She's trying to be all suave, sophisticated, and in charge. So you want to just instruct this ball of light with the mirrors inside to reflect back to her any judgments and negativity and so on, so that she can be empowered, so that she can be responsible for the stuff she puts out. And anything that she puts out that's positive, that it can come through the beautiful ball of light and touch you and your son and anybody else that's around her. Now, the reason for doing this is, in a sense, is to give her boundaries and give you boundaries, so that you don't fall into her dance, into a kind of a codependent dance with her. Okay? It enables her to get more feedback so that she can be more empowered. A lot of people say, oh, but wouldn't that be hurtful? No, not at all. It's her stuff. It's not your stuff. Would you prefer her to give it to you? No. Because, see, in the past, you've taken people's stuff. You know that, right?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Important for you not to take people's stuff on you. You're not here to process other people's stuff. Right? You're not here to kind of heal people and free them from their compensations and their games. Basically, you're here to enjoy yourself, to love yourself, to love others, to celebrate, to explore your life, to discover who you are, to create, to love, touch, heal, to grow and expand your awareness. That's all. Those are the things you're here for. Not to, help other people make better compensations. Okay? Because basically what you want her to do is let go of her control mechanism compensation and move over to the be nicey-nice compensation. But that's not working right now. And it may not work. That may be just the way she takes care of her life. That's what she picked up from her family. That's what she felt she got positive response to. When she played nice, she felt that she lost out there. She got totally different response in her reality than you do, or did.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
So, in a sense, all you can do is just, every time that you interact with her, you just don't take any of it personally, okay? Nothing. It is not anything to be taken personally. But just laugh about it. Let yourself stay an adult and just laugh about it. Oh, there's the young adult. Where in you is that part of you that still would love to control? That still would love to be outspoken and dynamic and just tell people off? Boy, would you love to tell her off? Okay? Maybe do it in meditation. Blow her up a few times. Tell her off. Blow her up. Tell her off. Blow her up. Okay. All right, never mind. Then after a while, it's not even fun anymore. Right? And you're free. Right? And you're free to be. Now, if you can do that, and you can be in yourself without judging her, without resenting her, without being jealous of her, without having your adolescent self and young adult self being pissed off that they never got their chance to be control freaks or be manipulative or whatever it is, or smart alecks, right? Then you'll find that you'll open up the channels of communication between her and you, and the channel between you and your son will remain open. Okay?
Good. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Very clear.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. Who's next?
Hello, Galexis.
Hello.
Wonderful to be here.
Great.
I'd like to ask for some insight on repeating certain patterns of, we mentioned the adrenals and stress, and maybe some insight into what I'm not seeing, like what is it that I'm not getting. I sort of find myself on the edge of survival, and then it's, okay, I'm going to get it. You know, then I kind of release all those slave driver tendencies for a while, and then they sneak back in. So I believe I'm getting better, but sometimes I don't know if I am. So I just want to know maybe if you can help me see my blind spot or which voice it is that's coming in and taking over more.
All right. Well, we would say that pretty much all of them are a bit active about that one, because it has to do with financial survival. It has to be doing with achieving enough, trying to achieve to a level to where you can have some sense of security, that kind of stuff, trying to establish yourself in the world, and so on. So definitely there's a lot of old stuff that goes on there. Your slave driver particularly active, right? And your slave driver, in a sense, driving you, you've got to do more, you're not enough, you haven't figured it out enough, you haven't understood it enough, you haven't learned enough, you haven't taken enough action, you don't have enough energy, you don't have enough this, and all of that, and kind of pushing you and prodding you. And we would suggest, similar to the first question, we would suggest that that it is the lack of a sense of comfort with the chaos, that every time the chaos comes up, every time you go into a crisis, every time you're at that pivotal point again, that your tendency is to go back, okay, what have I done in the past? And to keep looking at that. Sometimes to dismantle the past and focus on that, but when you're doing that, where's your attention? It's in the past, right? So the key for you is going to be to come to the present, to be totally present, to touch that being within you, to get some juice within yourself, to get your motivation on it correctly. We would highly recommend that you listen to our workshop on activating motivation, desire, and passion to kind of get your slave driver into the positive motivation mode, okay? Just so that you can see the alignments. And it's important for you to get a new vision, to get your young adult, the positive young adult in you together, to dream something new. Because right now, your future is like all over the place. You don't have a good future track laid down. You think that the future is about form. You want to see, what do I do and what must I achieve and what must I accomplish and what must I manifest and so on. And then this will enable me to feel more, to be feel more successful and so on. But the idea really, truly is for you to really tap into your grandness, your greatness and so on. And from that perspective, take action, not necessarily also to just take action blindly, just saying, okay, I'm in the adult, I'm going to take action now, let's see, what's the next step? But you also need to have an anchor into a future that is actually on the other side of the crisis. That is something we're going to do in the second half. That's about linking to your future, all right? You don't have a good link to your future. You're looking, you're still in the chaos, so you're looking at possibility after possibility after possibility after possibility. Oh, it could be this, it could be that, it could be the, you know, and so on. And unfortunately, if you let those inner voices, the dark side, prevail, then what future possibilities are you paying attention to? The scary ones, right? The limited ones. And the way that your young adult compensates for that, the dark side of the young adult, is to have a nice fantasy about what it should be. Right? You need to get out of that, because what that means is that you don't move forward. You just move around in circles. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. So basically what you've done is kept bringing yourself to a point of crisis. This is a kind of a favored pattern. Most people like to play this. If they're really going to do a big spiritual leap, they've got to bring the crisis, and they bring themselves up to the crisis again and again and again. Very often it's the very same symptoms, same of the crisis, right? You bring it over and over again. And then you start to your internal negative critical parent will say, you're not getting this. You're not learning your lesson, you stupid person. You know? Come on. You got to try harder, says the slave driver. You see how they all kind of exhort you, and you're filled with shoulds and oughts about how you should move ahead. But when you're tuned into those, and if you believe those, and you go with those feelings and don't keep yourself distinguished from them, you're facing your past. And obviously where you're going, where the solution is to what you're doing, the healing of your pattern is in the future. It's not, you can't find it in the past. You can find some of your history. You can find your story and you can change your story. So you do have a story where you struggle. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you want to give up that story. That's the story that you keep getting reminded of every time you bring yourself into crisis. The internal critical parent comes and says, yep, there you are again. That's just the way you are. And then where can you grow? It's like it sticks you in the box, you see. So this is why we're talking about this top, very, very important topic to get today, because it is so difficult for most people to distinguish themselves from these selves. They think, okay, I've got to give every one of these selves its due. Yes, you do. But mainly what you want to give to them is your love, your attention, your wisdom, and your presence. And let them express themselves. But you don't act on them. You don't act on what they say. That's not your motivator, because that's a slave driver type motivation. That's motivation through fear. That's making choices based on you're afraid. And so when you do that, you're working from the past. And so in the second part of today, we're going to be working with the future. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Who's next?
Hello, Galexis.
Hello.
Thank you so much for having us today.
You're welcome.
My question pertains to the last time we spoke in regards to theta healing. I'm an advanced theta healer, and I find that for me, it's really helped me work on myself and mm-hmm. my own beliefs into mm-hmm. transforming them into positives. Mm-hmm. It's something I'm very passionate about. My concern is you had said that when you are taught to go up to seventh plane, there's a disconnect, which in turn causes an energetic exchange. Mm-hmm. My question is, in the advanced class, our teacher taught us to do something a little bit more on a multidimensional level, which mm-hmm. is actually going out from your heart. So you start from your heart chakra, and you illuminate it, and you go out into the oneness through your heart, and then that way connect to that creative energy through your heart, mm-hmm. so you're not going up. My question is, does this also take an exchange of energy?
Mm-hmm.
Does
yes.
it? Okay.
Yes, because the idea is that you start with your heart, and then you go out to the oneness. That's not where the oneness is.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you have any sense of going up, out, over, anywhere, up, down, wherever, anytime you have a sense of going anywhere, any type of sense of going anywhere other than here, there's an energy loss.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because the assumption, the foundation belief underneath there is that it's there, what you want. Mm-hmm. You see? And the oneness is not separate from you in the very least at all. Now, you can connect with, let's say, your higher self, or you can connect with a certain personification of divine energy by linking your heart to what you perceive in form as that. But you see, you are that. And so for you to perceive that, I have to go there, I have to connect that way. That's very nice. You want to, in a sense, share your heart and send your heart love out to people. But it's not there or anywhere outside of you that you need to go to connect to find more of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so this concept is what we call the old school. It is old school of metaphysics. It's what used to be taught in metaphysics. Because inherent in spiritual practice of the old school is that you must humble yourself. You must become small, and you must appeal to that which is greater to you to connect to you, to grant you love, energy, and so forth, and that you, in a sense, are dependent upon that relationship. And that's why so many people go to God in prayer as children. Okay? Or you can go as an adolescent. And we would suggest to go to the oneness, to go there to the oneness, is going as an adolescent. In a sense, you're getting a whole oneness which surrounds you, but there's almost like a gap between you and it. And so the important thing, and that's what we're going to be focusing on today, is to go, it's all here inside. You don't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. You don't even activate the thought of movement or distance or connection out anywhere. You understand?
Yes.
And every time that happens, the arrangement between you, and in theta healing in particular, it is called the creator, you and creator, extracts a price from you. And that is why a lot of people who do theta healing, they have to take certain minerals and certain stuff to keep themselves from getting drained. Mm-hmm. All right. And whereas the work with beliefs and freeing yourself from beliefs and reprogramming beliefs, very good work. Indeed. It is that connection where the price is paid. So you have probably seen in your life all the work with the beliefs and clearings and so on and so on, how powerful those can be. Yes.
Yes.
All right. How you can reprogram and train and teach and so on. And in fact, that's wonderful when you get the essence of being and it's time for you to use your positive selves, your positive spiritual adult self, to dream and imagine and create a new future for you. That's fantastic. That comes in really, really well. Okay? Mm-hmm. So that's the advantage of it. And that's good work there. Okay? But you need to be mindful, though, that if you have any sense of distinction or separation between you and the divine, that you end up losing energy on it. And that's why so many theta healers, particularly even the more advanced ones, have tremendous health problems and crises or financial crises. And in fact, Vienna herself has financial crises going on. So it doesn't protect you from that exchange. It doesn't, the theta healing process does not protect you, does not buffer you from that distinction and separation and that loss of energy. So you have to, by your own consciousness, by your own choice, make sure that you keep yourself infused, empowered. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. So who's next?
Me.
All right.
Hi.
Hello, you.
Hi. This particular lifetime has not been an easy one for me. It's very much about confronting old unresolved karmic patterns and people and issues. And it's very much appears thus far about cleaning up karma. And one of the manifestations of this pattern is that I have continuously run into old karmic enemies in this lifetime, where when I encounter them, there's this instant dislike coming from them towards me, including my own family, is made up of old karmic enemies. And I don't have a wonderful relationship with any of them. And it's very painful. And when this happens, they have a tendency to project onto me this unflattering, malevolent motives that I don't have in this lifetime. In this lifetime, I just want to be their friend. I just want to get along. I want to give love and receive love, yet they're coming from this old, unhealed, unresolved place where I did screw them over in a
you
past
did?
Life. Oh, absolutely. And I'm
not in this life, huh?
Right.
You've been totally innocent in this life.
I'm a pretty nice person in this life. I'm very rigorous about my ethics and, you know, I'm not perfect, but I'm pretty, you know, these are people that I have done nothing to in this life. Yet they sometimes come at me insisting that I have these devious motives, which are simply not true. And it's very painful. And it's happened a lot on the job and with old bosses and coworkers. It seems like every job I've ever had, there is this enemy that wants to do me in. And I have the ability to go and see the origin of why they feel this way. And I pretty much usually always know why. But, you know, how do I, what do I do about that?
All right. Well, that can continuously give you crises, can't it?
Absolutely.
All right. Let's turn everything into upheaval and throw you back into the chaos yet again.
I even ran into someone that I fed to the lions in ancient Rome.
Well, you were really stinker in the old days.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, first of all, if you adhere to the concept of karma, you're going to adhere to the idea that you're being treated maliciously for a specific reason. And that this reason doesn't have anything to do with this life, but probably has to do with other lives. And this is unfinished business. And this is a tit for tat. And you got to put up with it, or you got to do something new and grand, and you got to transcend it, and you got more work to do, and so on because of this. And we would suggest that one of the first things to do here, as far as actions to take, is just to go and just let go of all the karmic story. All right? Now, we're not saying it doesn't have its role, it doesn't have its place, but you see, as you grow and as you expand in your awareness of who you are, that whole karmic thing can trap you into boxes, and it can create beliefs that are limiting and very negative. That you, of situations that you feel powerless about and you feel you cannot change. And so it's really important, in order to be in your power, you must give up the whole karmic idea, because you see, every karma that is playing out, now most people when they say karma, they're referring to the negative dark side of it. People don't generally go around celebrating their positive karma, right? And you all have positive karma at some point in your life. But nevertheless, that when you come to this whole trying to make sense of it all, where do you go? You go into the past. We were talking about that in the previous question, that the past in this lifetime, the old patterns of response and reaction and so on in this past, in the past of this life, they don't work anymore. The whole world's in chaos. You're moving through a sea, an ocean of chaos, and you, as a first waver, as you're as a light being, are those who are finding the first way through. That's why we're talking about this topic, right? Because this is critical, this is pivotal for you to make it through the chaos and emerge in your light and in your love and in your wholeness, to radiate your truth on the planet in a way that does not trigger confrontation, reaction, resistance, etc. So certainly, if we're going to suggest to let go of the past in this life, we're going to suggest to let go of all the other past lives too. Because the answer of why this is happening, it's like you go to a doctor and you get the diagnostic. Oh, you have this condition. Okay, now what do I do about it? well, we don't really know. What we do is we try this drug, we try that drug, we try this therapy, we try that. That's why it's called a practice, right? The doctors have a practice because they practice on you, right? This is the drug we use, you know, and if that doesn't work and it makes you worse, okay, we'll try another drug. It's all experimental, you see. So what you want to do is not to focus on the diagnosis. Because if you focus on the diagnosis, why are they treating me like this? You're going to end up right back in the child self, and then particularly in the adolescent self. Your adolescent self is the one that's wounded here, the one that's crying, the one that's suffering, your internal adolescent, because somehow or another, she never got accepted for who she is. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
People just don't accept you for who you are. They don't understand you. They don't accept you. And the fact is that when you're in your light, you can scare them. Because you have a lot of power, and you know that, yes?
Mm-hmm.
You have a presence and a power. But the fact is that because you keep looking to the past, why is this happening? And what do I do about it? You keep looking in the past for what to do about it. We would suggest that you look into the future. But you, first of all, you need to look into the present. You need to be present with yourself and recognize that there are seeds of this in this lifetime. And we would suggest that the unresolved wounds that you carry around have made you very angry. And you have a lot of anger. And so in your reaction to people, you're angry. You have a lot of that young, angry woman energy in you. And then when you're interacting with people, you start to get afraid. Afraid of how they're going to respond, afraid of how they're going to react. And then you get angry that you have to adjust your behavior and adjust the way you need to be to them so that you don't tick them off and so you don't get bent out of shape by them. And so there's all this adjustment that you made as an adolescent that's still going on, this pattern. So it keeps you locked in frustration and fear, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the way to get out of this is to recognize that your adolescent self needs to have a really good cry and a really good dump. You need to hold her for however long it takes, loving her, but staying separate from your adolescent self. She has a lot of pain, a lot of hurt. She needs to get it out. And you hold her, and you may even feel some of the hurt with her, but you just be with it. There's not really that much to do because, in a sense, all the old patterns of the past will dissolve in the chaos. So, in a sense, part of what you've been doing by having all these relationship issues with family members, with your bosses, and who and whatnot, is our crisis ways to bring up the chaos so you could step into the chaos and free yourself and really, really see who you can be so that you can feel safe being yourself. When you feel safe being yourself, you can become more aware of them. Because sometimes when you're going trying to figure out what they're thinking and what they're feeling, okay, why are they upset at me? What is it about them that you're going in the wrong direction. What you want to look at is inside yourself. How do I feel when they respond, when they act like that? And how do I have compassion for them? You see, that's mainly and you've starting to shift there. But the wounds keep pulling you back. The wounds are not healed. And so you're still angry about it as a way to motivate yourself. Slave driver keeps you motivating yourself. And you put up walls and you put up barriers. So sometimes you show up and you have all these walls up, protective walls. You don't see them because they're psychic walls around you to protect you from the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, right? So you have all your walls up. What do people feel when in walks you, big presence with lots of walls? What's their response going to be? What would your response be if somebody with a big presence showed up and she had walls all around her?
Aversion.
Of course. Like, oh, this person has a big ego. Now, if you're kind of a, a snotty character, you'd like to tear that person down. You'd like to judge them. You'd like to criticize them. You'd like to find fault in them. You'd like them to see their comeuppance. Because when walls are up, nobody feels safe. You don't feel safe, so that's why you have walls up. So when the walls hit somebody's energy field and they say, oh, the person has walls up, it must not be safe. And if they don't feel safe, they're going to get upset. They're going to be angry. Why is this person bringing, this person keeps bringing unsafety. This person keeps making me feel uneasy. We talked about that even earlier in the questions. You understand? Mm-hmm. So when you get to a point where you can connect with yourself, let your adolescent heal, which we're going to be actually doing later on today in meditation, you get to the opportunity to come to a point of the emptiness, of the nothing, and in that point, to find safety. And when you rebuild yourself, your new pattern, is that no matter who you're with, where you're at, doing whatever you're doing, you're safe. Energetically, emotionally, you're safe. You understand? And when you're there and you're safe, you don't have any walls up. Your perception of another person, you can be present with another person. And right now, because you have walls up, because of the pain of the past, it's difficult for you to really fully be present with anybody. Have you noticed that? Mm-hmm. You don't really know what's going on. You don't get the nuance of what they're saying or what they're doing. You miss a lot of feedback that comes to you because the walls say, feedback is dangerous. So you cut off your perceptions and your awareness of other people. And they perceive that as judgment and criticism of them. If somebody came to you like that and you were in a conversation and you had a nuance and you explained this, how you felt about this, and the other person didn't get it and just kind of glared at you or just kind of like went on their own tack, how would you feel?
Dismissed.
Absolutely. And we would say that on occasion, and you don't know you come across like this because your intentions are good, but that those walls really get in the way because you're feeling so unsafe. So what you're going to be doing is you're going to be building a life without walls. Yeah, you're going to be vulnerable. But in that vulnerability, you have power, which you did not used to have. You're going to have freedom to be yourself. And you're not going to take anything personally, which you used to do. Can you imagine what it's like to live your life without taking anything personally? That other people can look at you and spit at you and say all sorts of stupid things. And it's like, and you go, golly, where'd that come from? Because frankly, do these people really know you?
No.
No. If a person really knew you and they said something cruel, they would know exactly where to stick the knife in. You see? Now, the thing is that if you become intimate and loving with someone, you're going to be vulnerable enough they could stick the knife in. But you're going to create a safety. If you feel safe, if you allow yourself to hold the safety, the resonance of the safety within you, which is what the afternoon's about, you're going to be able to allow that other person to come into your reality. And they're going to feel safe. So they're not going to want to stick a knife in you. Ta-da! In a sense, problem solved. You see? But it's time to tear down those walls because all they are doing is keeping you trapped in a small box. And you're too magnificent for that box. You're too bright. You're too huge as a light being for that box. You see?
What do I do about the fact that people are afraid of my power?
Well, are you afraid of your power?
Yes.
Okay. Well, they're just reflecting it back to you. Mm-hmm. Okay. because you see power as something unwieldy, something kind of scary and spooky and heavy duty and intense, don't you? Mm-hmm. It's not like that. Power's not really that. Yeah, it can be like that. That's the power over. That's a manipulative power. Mm-hmm. But the real power is just a sense of you being present, safe in yourself. You see, the four components we talk about a lot, love, freedom, safety, power, those four components, they're all interactive. And if you're low on one, it damages the others, or it kind of pulls the others down. So you want to have all of them going. So if you can build up your safety, then your power becomes gentle.
Here's where the karma comes in. I misused this power, of course, in past lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so my level of discomfort with it this time has to do with the fact that I misused it.
Okay, so you're still kicking yourself about,
yeah,
about it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, have you thought about forgiving yourself for that and going on?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I did. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, I was. But that doesn't mean that you're a skunk this time. Okay? That doesn't mean that you're a stinker this time.
Mm-hmm.
All right? What it means is that, okay, I'm aware that I've used my power. And I'm also aware that because of that, I have this fixation that if I have power, I'm going to abuse it again. So that way, I don't give myself power. So I keep myself powerless. How do I keep myself powerless? I have people that beat up on me.
Victim.
Yeah, I become victimized by people. My bosses, my family, they all go and hurt me and da-da-da-da-da. Okay, so I'm paying the price because I was a real power maniac. Okay. Well, it's time to be done with paying the price. There's no more price to pay. It's your choice whether you're going to pay any more price or not. As a spiritual being, the crisis here for you is in taking your power, your love, your freedom, your safety, and constructing a new world with it, is that there's no more price to pay. Ever. No more guilt. No more shame. No more rage and terror. No more compensations, no more adjustments and dancing around people, no more beating yourself up, no more stories about your past. A new story needs to be created. And here's what she did. Here's what she does, and here's who I am becoming. And you're free. The choice for freedom is yours. You don't have, you've paid and you've paid and you've paid and you paid. Okay. Let go of karma. You don't have to even buy into the concept anymore. And look at power as a gentle, loving force. Okay? Power is part of your being. The power that you misused was the doing of the power. But you are powerful. You're afraid of doing power. Don't do power. Just be power. Okay? And that takes care of that. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
All right. You be powerful. You be loving. You be free. You be safe. And we'll explore that more in the second half. But at this time, yes? Mm-hmm. At this time, we'll close the question and answer. We'll have a short break. And how many minutes?
Ten
minutes, and then we're going to have a meditation. And this meditation, we're going to be doing some of getting in touch with that emptiness, healing those immature selves, letting go of the pain. All right? So, but in this 10 minutes, let yourself be prepared. And if you're listening to this by CD, we would suggest you also take a break. And let yourself prepare yourself for the sacredness of you. You're going to touch into the sacred you, into the divine you. It's a process. It's a journey. You may not feel it the first time, but you will get something. We're working with you. It's going to be a powerful, deep experience. be willing to make the choice now, not to take your reality so personally anymore, to step into your adult, to allow yourself to move through the chaos, to approach life in a new way. Give yourself permission to touch the sacred within you. All right. And so we'll see you in 10 minutes. Farewell, dear ones.